Oh, baby, how you lie? Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Good morning, my friend. Glad you're with me. I've got Jared Willis talking with us about Concert in the Park. Nick Stoltzfus is with us, a local documentary filmmaker, screenwriter. Austin Turner with Turner Furniture celebrating their 100th anniversary. And Miriam Dady has another guest in the business spotlight. Stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widen Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tripping out to truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop, we always aim to please. Truck and Car Concepts, everything is here from A to Z.
Call 656-8800.
So here we are, friend, once again, talking about all the things going on around town, the very cool people doing very cool things in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny is that radio show that you can rely on for that kind of conversation. It's the conversations about these various places within our community and people and activities, projects, visionary creation-type folks, people who come to us with amazing stories, honestly, people who come from us, or come to us from various levels and parts and places around town, around the region, all contributing to this rebirth, I would say, or reshaping, certainly, of Tallahassee. And we've got some folks with us today who will echo that sentiment, I think, by talking about some of the development, not just of the place, as we're often given to say. This sense of place is something that happens inside of us. And quite frankly, I think it's something that a lot of cities are missing, not because they intended that, but I think by virtue of the fact that we pay attention to the wrong stuff, in my humble opinion. I think we focus on the bloody headlines and the controversial quarterback or the FBI investigation or the crime rate or the whatever seems to bleed that reads gets our attention. And yet the real Tallahassee and the real story for a lot of communities is covered up, we'll say, or is certainly overshadowed by tragic events. And so what all has gone on in Baltimore this last week and a half or so, for those of us who are unacquainted with Baltimore in some fashion, other than being in the state of Maryland, hopefully we know that much, and has a significant role to play in our nation's government, in as much as Washington, D.C. isn't that far away. All of those people that work in and for federal government, yeah, they are residents in Baltimore. And I am quite certain that the vast majority of Baltimoreans are brokenhearted, that this is how they make national news, world headlines. I mean, that among them, a very few people resort to violence and some bloody and, I think, unwarranted attacks on some of the innocent folks. And in fact, some of the folks that are part of the solution. when you're burning a CVS pharmacy, I don't get it. I mean, you know, how, how does this help our situation? Now, you want to be heard, you want to be noticed. Yeah, there's a way to create that notice. But I think a lot of what we saw happen, have seen happen, and it's still happening, has very little to do with righting wrongs. It has a lot to do with exacting some kind of punishment or vengeance or resentment or hatred. And I say this to everybody that I think of when I have these conversations. If you're angry, well, God bless you. You have every constitutional right to be angry and express that anger. But where does it say that I get to come over and burn your house down, you know, or beat up your dog or abuse anybody? When do I get to stand in the face of stupidity and prejudice and discriminatory practices or closed-minded thinking and have a conversation that is intended to bring solution and resolution? You know, at some point I have to get beyond being angry. I don't have to stop being angry, but I gotta move through that and channel it in a manner that is conversational, that is about a national discussion and a local discussion. You know, I think our community is fortunate in that we have, for our history, avoided a lot of that kind of poor behavior and bad thinking. But I want to say this. I think we are certainly vulnerable if we do not celebrate who we really are. And we're not all white, and we're not all one or the other. We're not all black. We're not all of one shape, color, posture, position, occupation. Man, we are a diverse group of folks in this town and across the region. And that diversity is our strength. It's that diversity that brings us a vitalization. That is, in fact, I think, what makes this job of mine particularly enjoyable. And I've got Nick Stoltzfus, not easy for me to say. Nick is going to be with us, who is an aspiring documentarian, a screenwriter. His father, Elam Stoltzfus, has been doing this for a long time. And to his credit, the two of them partnered up and created this marvelous documentary about this portion of the Emerald Coast along the Gulf coastline over there to the west of us. We're going to talk about that and the inspiration for it. But it's a great example of the kind of creativity that's going on among us and around us. We have as well Jared Willis. He is the president of the Downtown Business Association. They're going to talk about, or he will talk about, a project called Saturday in the Park. So there's another concert opportunity. It's a free concert. It's tonight at 7 o'clock. We'll talk with him at length about the role that the DBA is playing in helping us bring this amazing diversity and credibility and revitalization to bear on our community. And as we do so, let's look around the room. Let's look at each other and say, you know, if you have one part of your community that is either by income or by location or lifestyle segregated from the other, you know, how long will you endure that? How long can a community continue to develop if, and I should say grow and flourish and explore and celebrate, if that remains? Perhaps the kind of integration we're talking about, as opposed to segregation, is really a blending of thought. It's a blending of conversation and ideas. It's a blending of talents and resources. It's a blending of celebrations. You know, we don't all have to like the same thing, but we have to like the fact that we all like different things. We like the fact that there is something called Tallahassee or Fiesta Tallahassee, right? Tallahassee Fiesta. There's a celebration of the Hispanic community. There's Springtime Tallahassee. There's, of late, Word of South, a celebration of music and literature. And now the Tallahassee Music Festival is on board. Wow. Well, you know, why not? Why shouldn't we be doing all of those things? It is not just us finding our place in the world, but it is saying to ourselves, to one another, hey, Tallahassee, it's a cool place to be. It's a cool place to be you. Be a part of that. Contribute to that conversation. Contribute to the lifestyle that we all desire. And yeah, it's a fluid, growing, evolving thing. We can sit back and whine about what's not, or we can get busy like a lot of the folks that you and I talk to on this show and say, hey, how can I contribute? And by the way, how can I participate and be a part of some of that creativity and celebration? That's what we're doing today. So you stay with me. I've got a great show lined up here for you. We'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Changing the face of talk radio in Tallahassee. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Time now for this week's Business Spotlight with Miriam Dady, brought to you by Send Out Cards.
Good morning, Tallahassee. It's Miriam Dady once again with Tallahassee Business Spotlight. I could be in a time machine. I could go generations back and be introducing the same company that I'm about to talk to right now. That's Widen Glass of Tallahassee. And I have here with me Kathy Griffin of Widen Glass. And she's going to tell me a little bit about the history and how this company got started here. Kathy, thanks for being here.
Thank you. Glad to be here. Well, my parents started the business. It started in 1945.
What were their names?
Jack and Josephine Widen. And he had worked for the railroad and then had a brother-in-law in glass business in Atlanta, and that's where he got his experience and to get started with it. My mother gave up the beauty shop that she owned. Took a course at Lively to learn how to keep books, and so they started it, ran it together. They had one employee to start with who worked in the shop with my dad who cut glass, and that's how it all began.
What kind of glass were they producing?
Mostly what they did back in those
days.
This
is just after the war, or really during World War II, right after, right?
Very end, yes. Because obviously we had the station out there at Dale Mabry Field. But mostly it was window glass and automobile glass. Back in those days, glasses in cars were all flat glasses, so it could be cut, and that's what was done, and that was mostly it. People might come in, have to replace a window pane, but they would come in and tell us what size they needed. You would cut the glass, you'd take it back home, and you would install your window pane.
How about that? You know, that reminds me of that movie with Charlie Chaplin called The Kid. He walked around with window panes on his back, and the little kid would throw rocks at windows. So he knew exactly who needed a window pane when. You guys never did that, though, right?
Promise we didn't do that. We were too young. There were five of us kids, and I was number four out of five. But we were too young to be out throwing rocks by then.
Hey, it created a business flow for Charlie Chaplin, that's for sure. Well, considering you were dealing in just regular flat glass for automobiles, that is really kind of an amazing thing. That was glass that could just shatter, right?
Well, it's what they call laminated glass. It's what windshields are made out of these days, but now everything has got a curve to it rather than being flat.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Yeah, because the old Jeeps, they just had a flat windshield. It could fold forward. And
right. But windshields back in those days were made or laminated, and all of your flat glass on the sides as well. And if you remember, most cars back then had what they call wing glasses.
Uh-huh.
Those were the small little ones that you would push out, and that's how you got your air to flow to you.
Hey, that my little Volkswagen Bug, that was my
right.
air conditioning. And
you don't see much of, now they're just stationary, but back in those days, everything was laminated in. The windshield, your back glass, and all your side glasses, the ones in the doors and things, were flat, and yeah. they were all laminated. That's all that was in glasses.
Where did your parents start the business? Is it still in the same spot?
Well, we've been in the location we're in now since about 1952. From about 1945 until then, they were down on Gaines Street
uh-huh.
with the railroad tracks behind them in an old warehouse.
Yeah.
And I have people every once in a while who come in and say, oh, I remember when I was a kid and my daddy had a business across the street, I always liked to go over there and see what was going on.
How about it?
But yeah, they moved to a different location on South Monroe Street, and we've been in that location at 1617 South Monroe. We tell people we are less than a mile from the state capitol building.
Oh, yeah, that's the brand new place that's only been there since the 50s.
Correct. Actually, it's an older building, and we've just been in that building and kept kind of redoing the interior.
I love that. Now, is there any kind of glass manipulation that you guys do? We're not talking about blowing glass or melting glass,
no,
right?
We still basically deal most of the time in flat glass.
Mm-hmm.
We have sources now that can provide curved glass. Your mm-hmm. automobile glasses, now you have manufacturers of those, and mm-hmm. you just order a piece of glass based on what your make and model vehicle is. So there's just hundreds and thousands of part numbers for cars these days for the piece of glass, because every piece in it has a different part number.
Boy, I bet. Who is your perfect business kind of partner? Who are the people that order glass an awful lot? Is it a contractor or?
Well, we have contractors, but I would say probably the homeowner now mm. is really the biggest partner we have, because nowadays most people don't change out their own window glass. But besides window glass, because now you have insulated, or a lot of people refer to it as thermal glass, mm-hmm. but it's insulated glass units that are in most windows of homes today, as well as doors and sliding glass doors. So our business now has grown to, we not only have a residential service to come to your home and change out glass that has either gotten broken, or maybe your thermal unit, your insulated unit is fogged up.
Uh-huh.
But within that, we do mirrors as well. If you decide to redo your bathrooms or some part of your house, mm. if maybe we have a lot of times people want to put in their own personal gym or a small practice dance studio, we can cover your walls with mirrors. But nowadays, yeah. people are updating their homes if they decide to redo their bathrooms. So we do bath enclosures.
And you have the people and the resources to help them. They don't have to walk out the door with a piece of glass
Correct.
And install
no.
it themselves.
Actually, if you have your bathroom redone and say you have your enclosure, new tile, then you can call us at the point that tile is finished. We come in, we do all the measuring. You give us your idea of how you want that opening fixed, and
mm-hmm.
then we can tell you and help you determine what's the best fit for your opening, you know, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
It's,
yeah.
There's different
okay.
configurations that you can use.
I got a couple of questions for you, because my mind is just churning about how glass is important to me in a couple of ways. One, I've got a big kind of a picnic table on my back patio. It's beveled glass. If a limb were to fall on it, heaven forbid, and it broke, is that something you could replace?
We can do that. We can order a replacement piece of glass. Most of your patio tables are what they call tempered safety glass.
Mm-hmm.
And the feature of the tempered glass is that if it does break, it breaks into small crumble-like pieces.
Right.
That keeps anyone from getting cut seriously.
Yeah, I know.
But you can order that glass made up to size, because the feature of tempered glass, once it's been tempered, and that's a process that it goes through.
Mm-hmm. Yours
may be a round piece. Once it's cut to the correct size in the round, the diameter you need, then it goes through this tempering process.
Well, Kathy, we are out of time, but I love the topic. I love the possibilities. We didn't even talk about framing specific artwork or anything like that, and the different kinds of glass that complement photos or art.
Take care of that.
I bet you will. Once again, Tallahassee, I want Kathy to be able to tell you how to get in touch with Wooden Glass. But Kathy, I know you haven't personally been there since 1945, but I appreciate your family being a part of the Tallahassee community. Tell folks once again how to get in touch with you.
Well, we're located at 1617 South Monroe Street. You can call us at our main number, 222-5781.
And they're going to be there for a while into the future, is my guess. Tallahassee, thanks so much for listening. Miriam Dady with Tallahassee Business Spotlight.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Nick Stoltzvis is a native Floridian who lives in Blountstown, Florida. After graduating from Florida State University with a degree in communications, he spent a year in Japan teaching English before coming back to work for his father's production company, Live Oak Production Group. Last year, he wrote the script for the Coastal Dune Lakes, Jewels of Florida's Emerald Coast. It is a nature documentary and has with it a companion coffee table book. The film is currently being shown on public television stations across the state of Florida, and the book can be purchased both online and at local bookstores. Let's welcome Nick Stoltzvis to the show. How are you, mister?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Had a cup of coffee this morning and feeling great.
You look good, too.
Thank you.
And this production looks awesome. Coastal Dune Lakes, this documentary, subtitled Jewels of Florida's Emerald Coast. And this was a work of a labor of love, we'd say, but a work that you and your father collaborated on, in which he put together... I guess the backbone for this, or how did it all come about?
Well, yes. So my dad has been making nature documentaries across the state of Florida for 30 years. So that's longer than I've been around.
I see.
Yes.
So this is in his wheelhouse, we'd say.
Yes, this is in his wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. And so I came on about two years ago, and this is the first project that we've collaborated on. Mm. But this is something that this project he wanted to do since 2007. But as you know, the economy... We had a bit of a downturn then, so he went and did projects in South Florida, came back, and in 2013 picked up on making this documentary. Oh.
Had you personally done anything like this prior?
No, I had not.
Really? So
no.
this is a first for you, both in terms of the screenwriting, mm-hmm. And as well then the production of this book, and the book itself is fantastic. You are an able photographer, sir.
Oh, well, thank
you. I will say, and this is the work of your dad as well. You and your dad both contributed to the photos in this?
Yes. My dad did most of the photography in the book, and then I took about a third of the pictures.
Wow. Yeah. And folks, I realize, of course, it's radio. I will help you out with this. We will post photos from the book at our website so that if you will go there, even this morning, you're going to find some of these available to you. You can go to TallahasseeTalks.com and look at some of this work. It won't be, I'm sure, quite as stunning as it is in my hand here, but my goodness, what a great... to me, I've noticed this too. There's a great a degree of detail given to what really characterizes this part of Florida. And let's talk about that for a minute.
Yes.
Why this particular section of the Emerald Coast, and as opposed to something else? Or is this something you personally know well or love? And
Absolutely. That's a good question. So the reason we focus in on this part of the Emerald Coast is they have coastal dune lakes there.
I see.
And so just a quick definition, a coastal dune lake is kind of a freshwater or brackish water lake found close to the Gulf of Mexico. And the ones we have in Florida are unique because they have outfalls. And that's like a blackwater creek that busts through the sand dune line and flows out into the Gulf of Mexico.
Wow.
It's very beautiful. It's like, you know, if you have a cup of coffee and you pour some cream in there and you see it swirling around, it's that same sort of effect. And it's just gorgeous to be able to see it.
That's amazing. And and you say that's particularly unique to the North Florida area, or it's certainly one of our unique characteristics here.
Mm-hmm. It is one of our unique characteristics that we have. There, it's something that's uncommon. There is an organization called FNA, actually out of Tallahassee, Florida Natural Areas Inventory, and they rank it as being one of the more rare community types within the state of Florida.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking here, folks, at some very, very amazing photography of this little baby green sea turtle. And the detail is remarkable. And then here's this quote from a guy named Jeff Talbert from Park Services. Let's see, what is he? He's a Park Services specialist from Topsail Hill Preserve State Park. And he says, "I consider it a special opportunity for me to be able to work with and help these magnificent creatures. It's satisfying to know that my little effort could help in such a big way." Along your journey in this, and by the way, how long did it take you to produce all of this work?
Oh, it took us about a year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. But along that way, tell us about some of the people that you met in putting this together.
I mean, oh, my goodness. I could probably take the whole show talking about people who have helped us along the way, Brian. I really, you know, sure, my name's on the front cover there, but that's not quite being 100% truthful because there are so many people who have helped us along the way. You know, you read Jeff Talbert's quote, and Jeff is just an example of the caliber of people down in that region who really wanted to tell the story about this treasure that they have along 30A and want to see it protected. And so Jeff works for the state parks and is very involved in education and telling both visitors, so tourists and locals, about what they can do to protect the region and just the kind of natural beauty that we have along there and across Northwest Florida.
So the book was published at the same time that the video was released?
Yes, that's correct.
And that was now, when, about a year ago or so?
This month.
Just this month?
Yes, sir, just
this month.
Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, we're getting you fresh off of the production trail.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Man, I feel special. Elam Stoltzfus is quite a character, isn't he? This is your dad.
He is a bit of a character.
He's listening, by the way, so just be careful.
I know.
Originally from Pennsylvania, Elam Stoltzfus fell in love with a Southern girl. Well, I happen to know who that is because she was a student of mine about 100 years ago, it seems like. She was but a child, but I was not. And so that's a rather interesting coinkydunk. They say there are no coincidences in life, so I'll take that at face value. But she was a student of mine at TCC, Tallahassee Community College, and I was out there teaching sociology. And here it is now some many years later. Yes. And what a great legacy then your father has put in your path. Now, I'm fortunate in that I've got couple of sons that work with me, and we're part of this whole group called Alcom. Is that a particular challenge when it's family and for you having to work with your dad? I mean, you can be honest. Maybe we can get him to go leave the radio for just a moment.
Well,
he won't be listening quite as closely.
If my dad's going to leave the radio and not listen in, then I'll be honest. No,
distract.
You know what, Brian? Yes, there are challenges as of in any job, but it has been a joy working with Dad. Yes, we did have some obstacles we have to overcome and kind of get on the same page, the same groove.
Right.
But it's
not
one.
Easy.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm saying it's not easy.
No, I mean, as you know, if you having family work with you, it is something that's a challenge.
Well, the hardest part for me is to recognize that this is not my son, my child. This is mm-hmm. a colleague. This mm-hmm. is somebody who is quite capable, and to make that transition and then be able to say, here's what I should be and can be expecting,
right.
and give that person that autonomy yeah. to do their job.
Well, and I'll share a story with you along those lines. So when I first came back to work for Dad, mm-hmm. I asked him, I said, well, Dad, am I working with you or for you? Uh-huh. He said, well, to start out with, you're working for me. And so hopefully, you know, as these months have progressed, yeah, maybe I'm working more with him. I don't know.
There is a degree of, right. of respect, I think, that one
yes.
then earns as you proceed, as it would be in any occupation or mm-hmm. any career. Well, folks, we're getting to know this man, Nick Stoltzfus, who is the author and co-creator of Coastal Dune Lakes, subtitled Jewels of Florida's Emerald Coast. The video is now playing across the state of Florida on various public television stations. We're going to make available for you online this morning, if you'll go to the website, TallahasseeTalks.com, see some of these photos that we've put up there for you. It's remarkable. We're going to have Nick stay with us here through the top of the hour. We've got a lot more to learn from this young man. As you continue listening, you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny here on a Saturday morning, brought to you by our good friends over there at A Country Rose Florist. Have you heard about tallyconnection.com? These are the folks who bring us all of the events and activities going on around town. It's a great little spot, tallyconnection.com. Go to that particular blog. You can find out everything you want to know about fundraisers and kids activities and festivals and concerts. It's all there, brought to you by FSU Credit Union. And they make it possible for us to bring you Tallahassee Talks every week. So we like the fact that we're working together. We even have a link to their tallyconnection.com site on our website under community. So there's a good way to find them, tallyconnection.com. Visit this week, find out more about what you love about this town. Events and activities, all to make your life a little bit better.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back. We've got Nick Stoltzfus talking to us here about this great production. It's entitled Coastal Dune Lakes, Jewels of Florida's Emerald Coast, a coffee table book, a video documentary that really tells the story of this very unique part of Florida along the Emerald Coast there. The 30A Highway especially is known by many. Mm-hmm. And I have also heard it said that those beaches are world-class in terms of the characteristics of the sand and the Gulf and all that sort of. Speak to that. What do you know about it?
Absolutely. And, you know, this is something that's been a learning process the entire way through. When I set about to write the script for the documentary, I'm a communication major from Florida State. Yeah. And so I didn't know anything about these Florida beaches. Even though I'm a Floridian, I just knew a little bit from going to vacation there.
Right.
But as I started to research it, I learned a lot more. And so you are absolutely right. These beaches along 30A, you know, even Dr. Beach has ranked them as some of the most beautiful beaches in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason why is the sand is almost 100% quartz.
Mm.
And that's that really, really white, kind of granular, like sugar.
Yeah.
And actually, along the Gulf of Mexico, the sand that we have there, it's called singing sand. And the reason why is when you walk down to the beach and, you know, you take your sandals off and you shuffle along the sand there, it makes a squeak, squeak, squeak sort of a sound, and it's called singing sand. And actually, there are scientists that devote their life to researching singing sand.
Well, that would not be me. I'm usually trying to get it out of my shoes.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm the less sensitive individual to such questions, but mm-hmm. it seems to me, any of us who have had the pleasure of being out there, as you have, how many months were you out there on this beach doing all this research?
Oh, it was, I mean, the whole thing took a year and a half, but collectively, how many months? three, four, in totality.
Through various parts of the year, through mm-hmm. one season? How did that work?
We went through various seasons because, mm-hmm. when you're doing a nature documentary, you don't want to just focus on one season because, right. Things are ever-changing. You go and you look at a vista in fall, and then you go back half a year later and you see something in the spring, it's going to look completely different. So that's very important to show that to the viewers.
One of the creatures that you showcased in the book yes. and in the documentary is this mouse, mm-hmm. who I think you referred to as the farmer of the dunes.
Yes.
Why is that?
Well, the reason that is, and the Choctahatchee Beach mouse, the one that you're talking about, the farmer of the dunes, is just this really special little mouse that we have up here. And so what they do is they have sea oats and various other plants, and they stuff it in their pouches, like hamsters and gerbils do.
Yeah.
And as they run along the sand dunes, some of it falls out. And then those seeds then turn into mature sea oats. And that
so there
sort of
you go.
Thing.
Creation is replenishing itself, yes. courtesy of the farmer of the dunes.
Yes.
This mouse that... folks, if you get a chance, take a look at that photo we've got up on the website there. And also, there's a site that celebrates Nick's achievements, and this is coming by way of Florida State University College of Communication and Information. And the web address is rather lengthy, so I won't burden you with that. But if you go to news.cci.fsu.edu, I'm sure then you'll be able to find the link to Nick Stoltzfus as they talk there about his work. So this is not only the coastal dune lakes, not only the jewels of Florida, but this is a jewel of a creation in your own life. Mm-hmm. What's up ahead for you? What else do you want to be doing?
Oh, so I definitely plan on working for my dad's production company for the foreseeable future. I mean, Florida, there are plenty of nature and environmental stories that need to be told. Mm. And I think there is a real need right now. Florida just passed New York State as the third most populous state, in the United States. Wow. And so we have a lot of visitors coming in that are not native, which is fine, but they need to understand what is the real Florida. And Brian, as a Floridian, I think you can understand that.
Yeah.
And so these documentaries, it's an accessible way for both locals and visitors to see the beauty that we have in Florida and what they can do to protect it and conserve it for future generations.
How do you go about helping us do that? Is that part of your mission here, or you are simply telling us a story and not necessarily the advocate?
Well, I think it's both. Whenever our documentaries are made for public television, and so they need to be something that's accessible to the layperson, to anyone. Yeah. And so it's definitely taking that science, researching it, but then processing it to a level that the average person can understand.
Right.
And so, yes, our documentaries are meant for the public. Yeah. So it is education.
It's consumable in that sense.
Right,
huh?
Right.
When you look at the impact of Horizon, the oil spill, mm-hmm. Is that of particular concern to you, or do you spend any time in those discussions looking at how we can better protect the coastline?
Yes, we do talk a little bit about it in the documentary as it relates to the coastal dune lakes. And yeah. so the way that it relates to the dune lakes is, like I said earlier, they have this outfall that flows into the Gulf of Mexico, mm-hmm. where the county, Walton County, they took action and blocked off a lot of these outfalls mm-hmm. so the oil couldn't flow into the lakes.
I see.
And so, hopefully that is just one example of, well, if we have an accident or a big disaster happen, then we need to take action as soon as possible to prevent them from destroying some of our natural treasures that we have.
In your work, do you have contact with Gulf Specimen Marine Lab? Are they part of this whole effort for you, or
I'm unfamiliar with them, but I'd be interested to learn more.
Okay. We have, for the last couple of minutes here, an opportunity to get to know you from a little different point of view.
Yes.
And that has to do with being the fact that you are native to the area. You mm-hmm. were born here in the North Florida area. What is it that keeps you here, do you think? Or why did you decide to stay here and not move on? Or do you have plans to go elsewhere?
No, I plan on staying here for a while. You know, as kind of what we were talking about earlier, I left and went to Japan for a year mm-hmm. and came back to work for my dad. Mm-hmm. And when I first left, I was like, well, I don't know if I really want to come back to Florida or not. Mm-hmm. But after being gone a year and learning more about the world in general, you know, there is a lot that Tallahassee, Northwest Florida has to offer. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I plan on being here for a while. Mm-hmm. Now, let's see, your first question was, what keeps me here?
Well, yeah. I guess so. In terms of filmmaking, mm-hmm. Florida is not known for its friendliness, we'll say, towards filmmakers. And in terms of incentives and such, Len, right. I'm thinking Louisiana and Texas and California, where you have funding right. available and tax breaks and that kind of thing.
Yes, which I do find a little unfortunate because the film industry kind of got its start in some ways in Jacksonville, you know, if you go back and look at the history. So I hope that
and Wakulla Springs. I mean, Tarzan.
Exactly. you know, you had the swamp creature and everything like that down in Wakulla Springs. So we have this history and we have the FSU Film School, which is wonderful. Right. Department of Communication has some great programs as well. And so we have resources here. It's just connecting the dots a little bit more.
Well, see, the legislature was going to address that, but they decided to leave 3 days early. So they didn't get to that.
No, they did not. They also didn't get to some Amendment 1 issues as well for protecting lands, which I think it was like 75% of us voted for. I don't quite understand.
Figure.
Yeah, I don't quite understand, Brian.
I know. But. Well, you know, folks, all of us have work to do here, apparently, including the state legislature. But we want to let Nick get on with his work. And, Nick, thank you for your kind and generous insights into this great work. Coastal Dune Lakes, Jewels of Florida's Emerald Coast, a film by Elam Stoltzfus. And the screenwriting done by our guest this morning, Nick Stoltzfus, who is a proud Floridian and a future filmmaker, no doubt. There's a companion book that you'll certainly want to pick up as well. Look for that and look for these photos on our website this morning. Nick, thanks for being with us.
Yes, thank you, Brian.
Folks, we'll be right back. We've got ABC News coming up at the top of the hour, and we'll have more of Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The most talked about topics in town, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So here we are, we're back, you're still with me. I can't tell you how special that makes me feel. Or if you've just joined us, well, we're glad you're here. There's still a place for you here at the table. We got some more good stuff coming up on ahead here. We've had this great conversation earlier with Nick Stoltzfus, who is a wonderful guy, honestly, and great little filmmaker there. He is a screenwriter. He and his dad putting together this fantastic production about the portion of the Emerald Coast that features dune lakes, as they're called. Got to learn more about that. By the way, we promised you this. Go to the website, and you're going to see some photos there out of the work that they've done. He and his dad, Elam Stoltz. Come on, Brian. Stoltzfus. It's not that hard. Pennsylvania Dutch, right? Isn't that a German name? Stoltzfus. It's a good name. All right. Well, let's move on here. So what else do we got? Oh, in this hour, I'm going to be talking to Austin Turner, part of the Turner legacy. Man, this is a company that's now 100 years old, celebrating their 100th year anniversary. You know how they're doing that? You can go to one of their stores and register to win a gift, and I don't know what remember what the range is. He's gonna tell us about that. But you can register to win in their monthly drawing, and you win furniture. And when you do, if you win, you can tell them who your favorite charity is, and they'll write a check for an equal amount of your prize to your favorite charity. Well, now how cool is that, Carl? That's pretty cool. So, like, if you won $5,000 worth of furniture, which somebody did recently, they wrote a check for $5,000 to that individual's favorite charity. That's putting it down there, boys. I mean, that's kind of how it works around Turner Furniture. And they really have two different stores. They've got the Turner Fine Furniture and then the Turner Budget Furniture. So we'll learn all about that as we help Austin and his family celebrate. Started in Pelham, Georgia, in a feed store, hardware store. Who knew, right? Three generations now, I think maybe four. Well, that's very cool stuff. Jared Willis is going to talk with us here towards the end of the show about Concert in the Park. That's all the effort of the Downtown Business Association. And Jared got himself elected president. I was teasing him. I said, well, he must have been absent that day. He laughed and said, yeah, I was, matter of fact. So we'll find out more about that concert. That's coming up tonight at 7 o'clock. Man, it's free. How cool is this? And the band that's playing, great little local band. What's it called? I forget now, but we'll find out about that here in a second. I wanted to tell you, too, we had some interesting stories coming up through the week. That, you know, you gotta scratch your head. What's up with the state legislature? They pulled out 3 days ahead of time. Well, I mean, you know, if your work's done and it's quitting time, I guess that's okay. But they left a whole lot of undone. At least, you know, there were several bills that just didn't make it, not the least of which this whole question about medical marijuana. I mean, wasn't it like a constitutional amendment that passed on this? And so they couldn't get there on that question. And then comes the business about Uber and the two bills that would regulate the transportation and Lyft, the cab companies that are bucking local Simmons state bill 1298 placed insurance requirements. I mean, you can find out about this, by the way, if you'll go back and look through Tallahassee Democrat, a great source of information for all of us. Then there was the gun in schools bill that got pushed aside, and that would be that issue regarding whether or not students have the right to carry, would be allowed to carry concealed weapons while on campus, particularly Florida State. So that didn't get answered. And then you had stuff like cohabitation and the gender bathroom question, all kinds of issues that just never made it to the light of day, apparently. Undecided. Well, so what does that mean? Well, it means that, you know, a lot of effort will have to be made now in a special session. The real hang-up was just coming down on the money, and it's always about the money, isn't it? Agreeing on how money is going to be spent, which causes, which efforts deserve that. You know, Bill Cotterell was with us recently to talk about the state legislature, and he was a kind of, I would say in some respects, sort of complimentary, I guess, of the Republican leadership, in as much as he said, you know, it used to be that prior to the rise of the Republican Party in the state legislature, you know, legislative sessions would just go on and on and on into the wee hours of the morning. You know, they'd be serving breakfast by the time they'd finish. And he said, that's not the way these folks do it. Republicans, you know, it's supposed to end at a certain hour. That's exactly when they drop the gavel and they're gone. And apparently this time they did so 3 days ahead of schedule. You know, and so Bill writes about this and he says, you know, rarely does a session end in disarray. Certainly not this last week. He says it's not uncommon for one chamber to work, you know, a bit further into the late night, but that's not what happened here. And so with that, you got to ask yourself, what about all the restaurants and the hotels and the grocery stores that lost, you know, 3 days worth of consumption because of this exodus? You don't think that has impact? Yeah, well, talk to some of the restaurants downtown and around. That's exactly what happens. Anyway, we're working hard here to try to bring a lot more interesting news to you. You know, we've got this relationship with Tallahassee Family Magazine. I don't know if you've come across this. It's out in all of the Winn-Dixie stores, the Publix grocery stores. What a great little publication. How timely this is, too. Tallahassee Family Magazine is out there telling us more about the true Tallahassee, the real Tallahassee story. And so I encourage you to pick up a copy. We're doing our part to try to help them out. Jackie Carlberg was a guest here, I don't know, several months ago when she got started. And hers is a great Tallahassee story to begin with. So you got to check that out, Tallahassee Family Magazine. And when you do, and you're at the grocery store, don't forget about us. Tallahassee Food Challenge is up and running. Check us out online. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is the place where you can go to find out all about how you and I can help local food charities do their job. And during this time of year, May and June, kids are out of school, demand goes up. Well, guess what? The rest of us are thinking about vacations and planning for the summer, and so we tend to get a little distracted, and so we're not giving as much. Uh-oh, so supply is down. Demand up, supply down. That means that these food charities, they're in shortage. And so we want to use this opportunity to say we can do this. Look at the website. You'll find where we're going to be at an upcoming weekend at a specific location, a grocery store particularly, where you can come and bring a couple of bags if you can, or a couple of cans if that's all you're able to do. Bring us a non-perishable food item. We'll put it in our food challenge truck, courtesy of Browning Moving and Logistics, and they're going to help us get all that that you donate out to these charities to help them do their job. Folks, that's what we love to do, helping everybody do their job better and celebrating what Tallahassee brings to each of us every day. Stay with me. I've got coming up Austin Turner talking about the Turner Furniture 100th anniversary, and he will bring us a news of their celebration, a great story to tell. Stay with me. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by our good friends at A Country Rose Florist. Check them out online, acountryroseflorist.com. Folks, there are four ways to shine in life, and Mary Maids has it all going on: experience, reliability, thoroughness, and professionalism. And that's why we rely on Mary Maids right here at our studios. They are proficient, and they are reliable. And I want to tell you, when I come into the office and I find the studio fresh and clean, it's a great feeling. And the neat thing about it is they get into all the details that I probably would overlook. You know, I mean, but I want to tell you something else. As a new customer, when you sign up for their 24 weekly or biweekly cleanings, on your first cleaning, you're going to save up to $400, because they'll spend that first cleaning doing the extra deep cleaning that you probably would do if you wanted to do it yourself, but you don't have to. You can call Mary Maids. It's the best thing to do. And let me tell you something. Here's another special offer. You're going to save yourself 10% on that first call just by mentioning Tallahassee Talks when you call. Would you do that for me? Call Mary Maids this week. Here's the number, 386-2205, and tell them, "I heard your ad on Tallahassee Talks, and I'm ready to receive 10% discount on my service." They'll do it for you. They're right here in Tallahassee. You can go online at marymaids.com.
The best place for conversation, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back, and we are here with a very able young man who aspires to greatness. Austin Turner is our guest, and he is a proprietor of the very good and well-known Turner's Budget Furniture, both a very famous name in the area, certainly in relation to furniture. Turner's Budget Furniture has three locations. Am I right, sir?
That's right.
Okay, so
that's right, Brian.
We've got one here in Tallahassee on Appalachian Parkway, and then there's one up in Beechton, and then accompanying that location is Turner's Fine Furniture. So you got it all going on.
Well, that's right, Brian, and thanks for having me. And
you're welcome.
We actually have 10 locations total, but in Tallahassee we do have the three. And there are six Turner's Budget Furniture locations, and then four Turner's Fine Furniture locations.
And of the three that we're talking about are probably best known to us. But
yes,
this is a company that is now celebrating 100 years in business. That's quite an achievement.
That's right. And my brother Fortson and I own the company, And our great-grandfather started the company in 1915.
Wow.
And started as a hardware store in Pelham, Georgia, and sold everything from feed and seed to caskets.
And you're heading back to that now, aren't you?
No.
We'll stay with the furniture side.
That's right.
Side. Okay.
We'll stay with furniture.
Well, you know, for me particularly, and folks, I hope you've recognized Austin Turner here has brought with him not just this 100 years of history, but this legacy. And for that, I think, you know, a man who started in Pelham, Georgia, out of a hardware store. Now, these 100 years later, not only has this family invested heavily in the we'll call it North Florida, South Georgia communities, you've had to walk through a lot of tough times, and you're still here. That says a lot.
Well, thank you. And I think the main reason that we've been able to be successful is, and you mentioned investment, it's our employees. Our employees, and we've got awesome customers, and we've just got great employees that a lot of them have been. We've got some right now that have been with us over 30 years.
Is that right?
And a lot that have been 10 years or more.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just they have the knowledge and the ability to and the will to take care of. They just want to take care of people, and they know how to do it.
What's it like for you personally? Now, you and your brother pretty much are at the helm with this thing. We talk a lot around here about family. You know, we had Nick Stoltzfus with us earlier. He and his dad working together. It has its ups and its downs, doesn't it? Family can be a blessing. It also can be a challenge at times, we'd say.
I would say that. It's always, both, but... You know, at the same time, our family is just, we've got a great relationship. My brother and I are working together, and it's something that obviously we may disagree on some things sometimes, but in general, it's a great relationship.
When you walked into this, I mean, you grew up, we'll say, in the business, right? Was there a point at which you said, "Hey, I don't want to do this. I'm going to go do something else"?
No, not really. Huh. It's something that, there's obviously, you have your days where you have a challenging day. I mean, there's no doubt about
it. So now you're saying that. Yeah, I get it.
But
that job over at Sears is looking really good. Yeah, I get it. So what do you do when you face those moments when you think, man, this is just not worth it? Where do you go? How do you recharge?
Well, I think that the best thing to do is to you just have to step back and evaluate the situation, and a lot of times things are just not as bad as you may think they are.
Well, that's the truth.
And you can get yourself worked up, but there's always a solution out there.
Interesting. That I read that the other day. Walt Disney was quoted saying that when you think it's just not going to work, you got to look out for the next 30 days. And so that's kind of what you're saying, is that in this very moment, it may be pretty rough, but he's advising us, look past this moment, look out to the next 30 days. That's your perspective.
Right. Yeah. This too shall pass.
This too shall pass. So loyal employees, a family legacy, a longtime commitment to this area of business. The furniture business has changed dramatically, just along with the general economy, but you guys have figured out. So the fine furniture was sort of the crown jewel, I guess, for this company, and then you developed the budget furniture as a companion. Is that how it worked?
That's right, uh-huh. Brian. That's how it started. And okay. the Turner's fine furniture was our format.
Yeah.
And in 1990, my father, had the idea for the Turner's budget furniture. And where it came from was we had, obviously we had the nicest, best quality, and at the best price furniture in our market.
Right.
But we also had the perception that, we were the most expensive. Uh-huh. And so he had the idea to develop, the Turner's budget furniture, and we would have just different product, just a step below where we were in quality, and also, you know, a lower price mm-hmm. and appeal to a broader market.
Mm-hmm. And apparently that's worked pretty nicely. Folks, Austin Turner, one of the many folks who makes Turner's budget furniture and Turner's fine furniture a reality every day here in North Florida. Congratulations, sir, on your 100th anniversary.
Thank you.
We were expecting cake and balloons and other things going on throughout the year. You got anything special coming up?
We do. We're giving away $100,000 in furniture, and we're giving away $100,000 to charities from now through the end of the year.
That's awesome.
So every month.
That's awesome.
And all you have to do is just come in and register, and when we draw names at the end of each month, and the winners will win between $100,000 and $5,000 in free furniture.
Wow.
And then they're able to say, hey, I want you to write a check for what I won, that amount, to a charity.
That's a very good idea.
Of their choice.
Did you come up with that idea?
It was a group effort.
Well, a wonderful group of people you are, and we can do that at any of the three locations here in the vicinity.
Yes.
Okay. Folks, Turner's Budget Furniture, Turner's Fine Furniture, our guest this morning, Austin Turner, celebrating 100 years, and he doesn't look a day over 40, so hey, not bad. Thank you, sir, for being with us.
Thank you, Brian.
Stay with me, folks. We've got more coming up after this.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Jared Willis. How are you, sir?
Good. How are you doing?
Jared comes to us by way of REMAC. That's a real estate management and consulting company.
Yeah.
Did I get that
correct.
Right?
Yep. You got it.
Okay, cool. REMAC for their part. And this is kind of our theme around here. We like to look at folks that are in the business of helping us reshape and build and grow. And REMAC is certainly one of those companies that has contributed sizably to the welfare of our general public concerns and this community. And Jared, it's a pleasure to have you with us.
Pleasure to be here.
We're going to learn a little bit about this young man and how in the world he got himself involved with REMAC after all, because now he has no life. They're working him to death constantly, from my understanding. But you seem to enjoy it, and you're down there in the trenches. I mean, you know what's going on from week to week, and now you got yourself elected to this position as the president of what?
Of the Downtown Business Association.
Okay, the DBA, the Downtown Business Association. Yeah. What is that all about?
The Downtown Business Association is pretty much like it sounds. It's an association of downtown businesses. And the goal of that is to almost be kind of like a chamber of commerce for the downtown businesses.
Okay.
To be, you know, a voice for the downtown businesses.
I see.
We have a general meeting once a month, and in those meetings we have speakers that come and provide information on what's going on downtown to kind of keep the businesses competitive.
Right.
So, you know, we have a lot of competing businesses, but it's all in the interest of just promoting business in general downtown.
Gotcha. So, right. Yeah. Seems like it's going pretty well. Now, how is this different from, let's say, the downtown or the Tallahassee what are they called?
The Improvement Authority.
Yeah, that's Jay Revel and his team, right?
Jay, I like Jay. I probably talk to Jay at least
I don't like Jay very
once
much.
Every couple
you like
of
Jay?
Weeks. You'd be the only one I've met so far.
Okay. But he's so nice. I don't like nice, yeah. You know? He's just too nice.
He is. I guess the main difference is, you know, I actually had somebody ask me the other day if, you know, if we were competing organizations. And you know, the difference is that the DIA is they're government funded, so they're kind of a local government, quasi government type branch, and then the DBA is entirely private.
I got you.
So the DBA, you know, it's because it's private, we have a little more leeway in how we do things. We're not as accountable, you know, to taxpayers. You know, we're more accountable specifically
to your own membership.
The membership.
I got you.
So it allows us to be a voice more for the downtown businesses.
Right.
And it kind of allows us as well to not really be subject to whatever.
But you work and play well with Jay and
Jay DIA is on our board, you know, and I would say that it's a symbiotic relationship because, you know,
helping each other.
What he does needs the downtown business buy-in, and what we do, I mean, frankly, needs the government buy-in.
And he's so the PR side of it, I think.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
He's out there saying, here are all the neat, cool things going on, you know, Cascades Park and the chain of parks and all that. And
yeah, I mean, I would say probably for his position, he's irreplaceable just because of everything that he's done.
He's an able spokesperson,
downtown.
Is he
Absolutely.
Not? Yeah, he Absolutely. Really gets it. And I got to see and hear his TEDx talk recently, and he presented this whole idea. In fact, he was in the starting lineup of that list of folks who presented that day, and his whole talk about developing this sense of place, which I think is a take from Richard Florida's thesis about if communities are going to grow, they really have to have that sense of place where people who don't know the community look at it and go, let's go there. That's
right.
A cool thing. You're involved then with these businesses by virtue of your Downtown Business Association, right? The Downtown Business is that the title? Association or authority? I
can't. It's the association.
The Downtown Business Association. And as president, then, what does that entail? What do you have to do for these guys?
Well, as president, that's kind of a funny question. I kind of do as much as I can. We have a good board, so I get a lot of backup, you know, from the board.
I mean, are you in directly involved in creating opportunities for these businesses? You said you're kind of like a chamber. So then, are there pieces and parts of this thing?
Yeah, there are. And, you know, our board just over the last month has even gotten stronger just in general. But, you know, what we try to do and what my role in it is basically what I do is I try to do whatever needs to get done.
Well, that's kind of your role with REMAC, too, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of whatever's on the list for today.
Yeah.
Jared's there to pull the trigger. I get it. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, and you were involved, I know you were had a substantial role in the New Year's Eve celebration. Kurt Riley was on the show back prior to the New Year's Eve party, and that was quite an event. How did that all go down?
I thought it went well. The New Year's Eve event is always a good thing. I think any successful city has a good downtown New Year's Eve event. And I think, this year we're looking to kind of build on what's been done. It may be a little different from what people are used to as far as New Year's Eve goes in Tallahassee. But we're actually, over the next couple months, we should be rolling out kind of what it's going to look like. We're currently involved in developing some partnerships that will make it more effective.
There we go. Well, of course, the installation of Cascades Park, the Gaines Street revitalization, all that we've talked about here in their way of activities, the Chain of Parks Art Festival, the Downtown Marketplace, all this stuff is going on downtown.
Right.
I know Jay has talked about some of the frustrations involved with what is considered downtown, right? So the geographic definition of that gets a bit encumbering, we'd say, or limiting, because you know he relies on those that are properly within a certain frame, a certain geography. You face the same sorts of challenges? I mean, how far north do you go, for example? What do you consider downtown?
Our current border, and we actually just looked at this, our current border goes up to, I believe, Tennessee Street.
Mm-hmm.
and then it goes south to basically, if you look at the CRX mm-hmm. railroad track, that's yeah. kind of our right. southern and our
perimeter there,
eastern border.
Yep.
And then we actually have members from Madison Social.
Do you?
Okay. Madison Social is a member of our association. And, okay. you know, I think when you look at downtown, it's really easy to, you know, put it in a box. But I think especially with what FSU is going to be doing over the next, you know, couple years, just in that strip right there between
right.
you know, like where their campus ends uh-huh. and where downtown begins, I think that's going to be a really important connector between right. campus and downtown.
I think they should move that northern border up to Brevard, because I think that when you look at Midtown as such, that's a logical sort of breaking point. Everything north of Brevard, and I mean a lot of folks have jumped on that Midtown idea
right.
and will refer to themselves as in Midtown. Well, okay, I think downtown certainly includes anything south of Brevard, you know, Georgia, Virginia, Carolina, all of those avenues and streets, including Hotel Duval, should be part of this whole downtown way of thinking.
Right. I think what we'll see just over the next few years is less of a general, less of referring to areas as downtown and more of kind of a district type thing. So you'll have a Midtown, an Uptown. I mean, right now you have College Town.
Yeah.
You'll have, so it won't necessarily be downtown. I think downtown will probably be just that central core, and then you'll have a lot of districts, but it'll all kind of be downtown.
Is there one organization that knits all of those districts together at this point, other than, let's say, the Chamber of Commerce?
I don't think so. I know that there's associations like ours. I know there's a Midtown Business or Merchants Association. There's an association in Southwood. There's a Market District Association up on the northeast side of town. And I think at one time there was a College Town Association. I don't think that that's still
operative.
Yeah.
Talking to Jared Willis here, he is the president of the Downtown Business Association and an able representative of REMAC, developers and realtors here in town. Stay with me. We got more Tallahassee Talks right after this. I want to take just a minute and tell you about Chelsea Salon. They are the official hair care salon and spa for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. And yes, this is how I am able to bring to you my very best every week, because though you can't see me, I know whether I'm at my best, and I need all the help that I can get. So when I go over to see Mary Fannin and her crew, they are proficient in everything they do. Wow. Well, I don't think there's anything that has to do with my personal look and feel that they don't do. Here's one review I read recently. This is a guy here in Tallahassee. He says, I am so happy I found this place, having just moved from Orlando, where I had a wonderful stylist for 15 years. Chelsea is the bomb. Well, there you go, guys. So it's not just for the ladies. Check it out this week. Chelsea Salon and Spa, the official hair care and salon stylists for Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
So we're back and we're talking with Jared Willis. Properly, he is the Vice President of Development and Marketing for a company, REMAC, that many of you may already know. REMAC is a real estate and developing company, formerly the formal title, Real Estate Management and Consulting Company, REMAC here in Tallahassee. He's done a lot to help us grow out as a community and develop our vision and our footprint, we'd say. But at the same time, because I guess like so many of us, he just gets bored easily. So he looked for another way to contribute. And in doing that, he's the president of the Downtown Business Association, the DBA. And they have their own calendar of events, including the Park Concert Series that we're going to talk about here. In fact, tonight is a kickoff for them for the season. They've got in concert Johnny Marshall Band down there at Ponce de Leon Park. That's right there on the corner of Adams and Park Avenue. The Johnny Marshall Band will turn the downtown park into a blues venue with food and beverage concessions sold by the local Kiwanis Capital City Club. The admission is free. So, hey, come on now. Apparently, Jared paid for all of this out of his own pocket. So that's very nice of you, sir. Thank you.
That's not true.
Oh, okay. Well, there's you got to be willing to throw down for the food and beverage, because they're doing that as a courtesy to the Kiwanis folks that are going to be doing that. So don't be bringing your cooler and your snacks. You know, come on. The admission is free. You're going to hear a great band. Tell us about Johnny Marshall Band. What are they all about?
The Johnny Marshall Band, when we first started exploring, I took over in January, so that was one of the first initiatives, I guess, was to go ahead and get this going. We've done it. This will be the third year that we've done it. And so one of the things that I've been doing is kind of exploring around the community different music venues, and one that I think a lot of people will be really familiar with is the Bradfordville Blues Club.
Oh, yeah.
And so I went one night. I talked to Gary Anton, who is the owner over there, and he's great. He's been really helpful.
Very cool.
And the first name he came up with was the Johnny Marshall Band. They had an event, I think, 2 or 3 months ago, and I went out and I listened, and, you know, the first thing I said to Johnny was, hey, what do I have to do to get you to play downtown? Because I think they'd be a great opener, and I'm really excited to hear them tonight.
And this is the first of a series of concerts that you have planned, or how is that going?
Yeah, the vision is, the concert series is called Saturday in the Park.
Okay.
And so the vision is that every first Saturday over the summer, excluding July 4th, people have a lot of other stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But excluding July 4th, every first Saturday, we're going to have a concert down at Ponce de Leon Park outside the Doubletree. And that'll go from tonight until October.
And the show tonight starts at what time?
At 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tonight. The Johnny Marshall Band, the first in this series of concerts in the park. Saturday in the Park.
Right.
With all due respect to Chicago and the very famous song.
Right.
Maybe that's your theme song for this now.
I've talked to them about opening with that song. I don't know if it's really in their genre.
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
We'll see. But the fact is it's free, and it's a free concert.
It
you
is.
Go down there and you buy some food and some beverage. And what kind of beverages? We have adult beverages or something?
We do. Okay. It'll be both. There's going to be soda and water for the kids. And
there we go.
Tri-Eagle has been kind enough to sponsor us, and we're going to have every month we're going to have three different craft beers available, as well as I'm sure we'll have some lighter options for those that are watching their calories.
Well, thank you very much for reminding me of that. Johnny Marshall, they're a local group, are they not?
They're fairly local. I know that they're definitely a regional group. I think they're out of Georgia.
Is that part of the vision here, to try to give a little credence to local musicians?
Yeah. I know that local musicians certainly have a preference. We're interested in talking to TSO. I know that they just started a jazz program.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to sit down with them soon to discuss having them get involved.
I'm thinking of that. Darko Bukarets would be perfect for that sort of situation, and he is such a totally cool dude.
Yeah.
Right? Big FSU sports fan, by the way.
Great.
Loves basketball.
Great.
I mean, that's his deal. And then you've got Dr. Jimenez over there at Florida State. He's head of orchestral studies, so he's got a couple of bands. They played at Cascades Park here a couple of weeks back. Their Philharmonia band played. That was cool.
Wonderful.
Did you have a part to play in any of that? There was the whole Tallahassee Music Festival that went on for the week, and then it concluded that weekend with Word of South.
No, a couple of the members on our board were pretty heavily involved in that.
Yeah, it's a lot of
myself,
work.
I've been concentrating on this Saturday.
You got your own stuff to deal with. But isn't that cool that all of this has sort of started to come together, where there aren't too many weekends you can look and go, wow, look at all that's going on.
Right.
And you're helping to contribute to that.
Yeah, I think if you look at a lot of the big cities that are really successful, one of the main things, you know, is their music scene. And I think that that's starting to come about in Tallahassee. We're starting to see a lot of really talented local acts.
We certainly are.
Yeah, we're excited about
that. Drew Tillman comes to mind, Sarah Mack. And that's just two of many. The Fried Turkeys, Frank Douglas, his group.
Absolutely.
Some of these folks have been on the show, and we're very pleased to be able to say Tallahassee does have a music scene and these able writers and performers and singers and such. Glad to know that your organization sees that and is helping to foster that. You come to this, I think, by way of your background in hospitality. You seem to have an interest in that. I know academically you're a graduate of...
Yeah, I'm a graduate of the Dedman School of Hospitality at FSU.
Yeah.
It's one of the best in the country, and I really enjoyed my time there. And it's certainly gone to good use in my
I was going to say that lends itself to your current situation where you're really serving and caring for and helping to facilitate these kinds of things. What do you hope for? What's your vision for the future? I know that there's lots of concerts up ahead. What do you want to see Tallahassee do that it's not doing?
I think the main goal, if I were to sum it up, is to help people realize that Tallahassee is not just a college town anymore. And that is, that is no disrespect to FSU. I'm a graduate. I love FSU. I'm cheering them on every Saturday.
There you go.
But, I think that the locals and people from around are starting to realize that this is a great place to live and work and play. And it's not just a place where you go to school and kind of leave. It's a place where you can stay and raise a family. And there's a lot that Tallahassee has to offer beyond just FSU.
When you look at the kind of development that's going on, do you think we're headed in the right direction?
Absolutely.
Jared Willis, he's the president of the Tallahassee Business, the Downtown Business Association here in Tallahassee, and a good friend of the show. Jared, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Be out there tonight, 7 o'clock, a concert in the park, Ponce de Leon Park, right there, corner of Adams and Park Avenue. It's a free show, folks. Johnny Marshall Band will be out there and bluesing it up, baby. So do that, and then come back here next Saturday morning because we'll be back with more Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. We are the production of Alcom Marketing and Advertising right here in Tallahassee. Proud to say Carl Cerny is one of our able members and the executive producer. Our associate producer, Mindy Clark, responsible for guest relations. I'm Brian Cerny, inviting you to come back, be with me again next Saturday morning. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk with me.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts, people with their cars, we're number one by far.
Hi, I'm Joe Doty. Come truck it up with me this week, and I'll save you money. Get your deluxe detail package, complete window tinting, and heavy-duty floor mats starting at $339.95.
Truck and Car Concepts. We're your one-stop shop for tricking out your truck. Truck and Car Concepts. People with their cars, we're number one by far.
You'll save big bucks on the package, and I'll even throw in a great pair of free sunglasses. Come on, truck it up with us this weekend, and bring your cars, too. You're going to love it.
Truck and Car Concepts, we're your one-stop shop. We always aim to please.